Amen. That's just the start. So if you would, open up your Bibles to the book of Romans. And let's look at Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 5 for our text. And then we'll see where this goes. I love how the Spirit of God, you know, with Him, it's always the right season. With us, it may not be the right season or whatever. You never know when God's trying to get your attention or trying to talk to you. I just stepped into the bathroom, and as I stepped into the bathroom, the anointing fell on me, and that's exactly what He said. He said, "My grace is greater." And I was sitting there just standing there in His presence, and I thought, how wonderful that, you know, in everyday life, God's there. In every situation of life, He's there to speak to us and help us. And so I've been thinking about this for the last couple of days since that happened. And I believe that if we can stay attuned to His grace, it'll make our lives so much better. Amen. All right. Romans chapter 3. Let's start reading, if you would, in verse 20. Romans chapter 3. Verse number 20. It's hard to find a place to start and stop in this. This opening is so good. But anyway, if you're there, say amen. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight." Talking about in the sight of God our Father. "For by the law is the knowledge of sin." In other words, to the law come, before the Ten Commandments, you didn't know what was sin. We didn't know. But when God brought the word and the commandments to us, and all of a sudden sin was revealed to us, aren't you glad that God wants to show us what's right and what's wrong? He could have left us where we was at, and you'd be in wrong and not even know it. That's how much God loves us. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 21. "But now," there's that one of the God's buts that we were talking about this morning. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Verse 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation, an atonement through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sin that are past through the forbearance of God." Notice this, verse 26. "To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him or of her," no gender intended, "which believeth in Jesus." Say, "Jesus is my justifier." Oh, glory. Now hold your place right there, and I just want to read two verses over here in Romans chapter 5. It says, verse 20 and 21, Romans chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did abound much more." Our grace did much more abound, either way you want to say it. Verse 21, "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for your attentive heart toward the Word of God. Now, let's look at some things out of these two openings here. I think that will just leave us in a place of anticipation, a place of excitement, because you and I, we are saved to be named into the family of God, to have a relationship with God the Father through the Son by the Spirit, yes. But your salvation and my salvation is just the start. God's grace is what enables us to be saved, but we need to know how to live. So the same grace that saved you tonight is the same grace that teaches you and I how to live. And so God's grace is greater than every roadblock that the enemy could place in your life, every lie that the enemy could put in your life, every hurt, every heartache, every disturbance, every hiccup in life. God's grace is greater. Amen. And so what we need to do, we need to look in and from the Word of God to build our faith, to loose our faith into that reality. So let's look at some things here. You know these verses of Scripture very well, but aren't you glad that you don't have to be justified in your flesh? My flesh is dirty. I mean, like Brother Donnie and me talk all the time, and I love it when he says it. He said, the flesh is ugly. Ugly. It is. You know, it wants its own way, and it's not only does it do things destructive, but it wants to do things destructive. Our flesh wants to kill itself. And so we're not worried about trying to justify ourselves, because Jesus has become our justification. And he done what you and I couldn't do. He overcome all things in this same flesh body. And that's your hope. That's your confidence. So anything that might be trying to steal your joy tonight, anything that might be trying to bring confusion or misdirection in your life, we've got to tell the devil. We've got to tell our own selves, you know, build ourselves up, put ourselves in remembrance that God's grace is greater than all those things. And so let's look at some things here. Notice what he said. He said in verse 23, Romans 3:23, you know the verse, everybody can quote it, but for all, not one person left out, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So sin is a Greek word. In this case, it's 43 times in the King James Bible, harmatero, and it simply means to miss the mark and to miss out on God's prize. And so the prize here that the Apostle Paul is talking about, you and I, we've missed out on carrying God's glory before salvation. But God said, I've got a plan for you to come back to me into salvation, and then I'm going to put my light in you. I'm going to put my glory upon you so you can shine it to a lost and dying world. So God is your God, is my God of restoration, and God's going to have his way. Amen. The devil, he can fight and kick and try to hurt and hinder and all of those things. But as long as you and I stay hooked to the vine, we're going to produce fruit. And we're going to be in the place and the position where that glory of God is going to go to a world that's desperately looking for it. Come on, the world is fading. Its glory is fading fast. The world is getting darker. That means that you and I, we have the chance, the opportunity to shine the glory of God like never before. Amen. And so to be able to do that, we need to know how to operate in this grace. Now, notice what he said there in verse 24. He said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So you and I, we need to walk like, we need to talk like, we need to believe that we are justified. The Bible is saying that when you have believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth, that it's just as if you never sinned. That's what justification means. So we need to not let the sin of the past or the sin that's trying to pull on our heart, pull on our mind, pull on our flesh, let it dominate us, because we've been justified. We've got victory over that through Jesus. He's your source. He's my source. And so the only way the devil can win is if we let him bully us in deception. If we let him bring our minds, turn it back to darkness. As long as we're looking to the light, God's word is that light, you and I, we're going to succeed. Amen. And so we've got to keep God's grace in that place where we say, no, devil, no flesh, no lying world. God's grace saved me. God's grace is going to keep me. It's greater. And I'm going to learn how to operate. I'm going to learn how to rest. You and I, we need to rest in this grace. Come on, the devil wants to wear your mind out. He wants to wear your body out. He wants you and I to be in a place, in a position where we're running to and fro. We're doing all of these things, but we're going to be busy about the things of the Lord, but we're going to rest in God's grace. Amen. That grace is going to keep you. It's going to sustain you. It's going to continually build you up. Now notice, he said, being justified freely by his grace. Thank God that we can give each other grace after we've received it. But the grace of God, which is sufficient, has been distributed, has been ministered to you. and you didn't turn your head away from it. You didn't turn your heart away from it, but you reached out and grabbed that grace with both hands. So the God who is all sufficient, who's all loving, who's all powerful, who's all knowing, he has gave you and I that grace tonight to walk and to live in it. Amen. So it's there for us. Now think about it. The word, this word, grace is in your Bible, 170 times in 159 verses. That's a lot more than sin. But yet we, if we're not careful, we concentrate on the sin. We've got to lose our sin consciousness and become grace consciousness, because the grace of God will empower you, embolden you, will give you the victory over sin. Amen? God doesn't want us to be dominated by thoughts of, well, what if I do this or what if I do that? No, what if you walk in victory? You were born to walk in victory. You were born to walk in that place of power, that place of complete satisfaction in Jesus. Amen? And so we need to let that just hold in the forefront of our mind. Now grace is from a Greek word, charis, and it simply means that, you know, it's the unmerited favor of God, undeserved goodness of God in your life that produces an influence on your heart. It means a divine influence on your heart. So that means as you and I learn how not just to have saving grace, but how to have living grace, then that influence is going to be there. In other words, you're going to be walking along and all of a sudden, you don't know why, but you're going to make a different decision. All of a sudden, you started to say one thing, but you're going to say something else. And because you're not falling to the trick of the enemy, you're being led by the Spirit of God. And that grace is going to cause you to see things different. It's going to cause you to see people different. You're going to have a hope and an expectancy rather than something that would hurt, hinder, something that would put a limitation on you and I. We've got to live with no limits in this world. Amen. We got to see that freedom that Jesus has for us. All right. So with all of that being said, I want you to live in that verse 25. Notice what he said, that God, this is what the Father done for you and I. He set forth this Jesus to be the propitiation or the atonement for you. So if Jesus' blood is what justifies you, if Jesus' blood's what makes you white as snow, then who is a devil to accuse you? The book of Revelation says that the devil, he is an accuser of the brethren. He's going to bring in accusations against you continually, but he cannot stand against this blood. This blood destroyed him. Hebrews 2:14 says that Jesus, he destroyed death. He destroyed the devil. How? By this sinless blood, that perfect sacrifice. So when the devil starts trying to get you to live by what a set of rules or try to get you to think that, well, somebody else can have the favor of God. Somebody else can have the victory of God. I'm just going to settle for being saved. No, you and I, we say, devil, in the name of Jesus, I've got this grace that I'm letting it be bigger than any lie. I'm letting it be bigger than any picture that you would try to put up in my mind. And I'm going to accept what God's done for me. Amen. So let's look at Paul's example, if you would. We could go to many places, but let's go to 1 Timothy. And let's look at how grace touched the Apostle Paul. And let's look at his pattern. Because, you know, we have, what, nearly two-thirds in the New Testament. God used him to author by the Holy Spirit. And so it's very vital and very encouraging to look at his life. Let's look, starting at verse number 12, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, and let's get this in our heart. Look what he said. He said, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord." See, he had an attitude of gratitude. You and I, when we truly know what God's done for us, no matter what it looks like or feels like, we're going to have this same attitude. When we know that it's grace that saved us and nothing else can take us out of that grace, I can leave it, but I'm not going to. You're not going to. Amen. He said, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord." Notice what he said that Jesus done for him, "who has enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Paul says, everything I do, Jesus has enabled me. Now, this is a Greek word that means he's empowered him. Paul said, my power isn't of my own. I've been empowered by the resurrected Savior, the one who took the keys away from the devil, from hell, death, and the grave. I've been empowered by him. And he has counted me faithfully. The word is counted me trustworthy, and he's placed me in the ministry. You say, well, Greg, he's talking about Paul in the ministry. Everything in these epistles is written to the church. That means it's written to you and I. And the Bible says that when you and I got born again, that God has gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So we've been put in the ministry. Amen. And so since you've been put in the ministry, I've been put in the ministry, then we qualify for Jesus Christ to empower us. So everything that you're doing, everything that I'm doing, we say, Lord, I know that you've empowered me. How's he empowered me? By grace. Grace. God's grace is how you and I are being empowered. In other words, we start learning how to live the way that Jesus walked in this earth. Jesus walked in this earth fully flesh, but fully God. And he learned how to communicate with God the Father by the Holy Spirit and how to overcome all temptations, how to hear from heaven and bring the word of heaven to earth and to touch people's lives. That's the ministry of reconciliation. That's why Jesus said that the works he did, we could do, but only greater because we're greater in number. Amen. So we've got to start walking and living in this grace and say, Lord, I thank you that I'm being empowered. I'm being empowered. You're showing me a new level of grace. See, every time that you step out in faith and God counts you trustworthy, as he did Paul here, all of a sudden you get a new revelation of grace that will take you to the next thing God wants you to do. Amen? And so what we want to do, we want to operate in that. We want to live by that. We want to have an expectancy in and from that. And we want to speak that word. And as we do, it starts being a creative force in our life. It directs us rather than what the enemy would have. Amen. Now, he said in verse number 13, he said, who before, he said, this is what I done before. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. He said, I was injurious. He said, but I obtained mercy. See, that's what you and I have got to do. We've got to get in the place and the position where we realize that God's mercy endures forever. That's a long time. That's forever and ever. That's eternity, right? So Paul said, I have obtained mercy. So even the Apostle Paul, he had to deal with some issues in his life because the devil would try to take him back and try to make him think of some things. Because look what he said. He said, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. In other words, Paul, he thought about those things that he'd done in the past. And he thought about how he had affected Stephen's life and everyone connected with that and all of those things. He thought about that, but he didn't let that stop him. And that's what you and I've got to do. We can't let our past stop us, but we've got to ask the Lord, Lord, how can I use my past? How can I give it wholly and totally to you? Because the devil meant to take my past and put me in a prison. He wanted me to be secluded. He wanted me to be separated. But no, the Savior called and separated me unto himself that he would give me to the world. You're God's gift to the world. You've got to believe that because God gave you Jesus. Come on, for God so loved the world, he gave you Jesus. Then thus he could take you and he could use you to give you to the world. Because that's the only way Jesus is going to be received is through his many-membered body. Amen? And so you've got to be empowered. You've got to see the power of God, the will of God coming in and through your life. And it can only happen by grace. But Paul used all of these things that he'd done in the wrong. They were there. The devil tried to hinder him with it, but he wouldn't let it stop him. But rather, he used it for a building block of understanding how he could help people. See, I don't know how to help some people, but people who's been through the same thing I have, who's made the same mistakes I've made, all of the, I can help them because I know what works. Come on, you have the key for certain people. You know what works. You know what word will take them from being in a prison to freedom. What word will take them from being just so oppressed in a place where they have no hope, no confidence, to where all of a sudden their eyes are on Jesus and they have that victory. Amen. Now look what he says in verse 14. He said, and the grace, there it is, and the grace of our Lord was a little bit with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Exceeding abundant. What do you think about that? God's grace is exceeding abundant. Now, hold your place. I know you probably get tired of turning, but let's go back to Romans 5 just for a second and hold what you just read right there. And let's reread what we read because I want you to get that in your heart. Exceeding abundant. And he said, starting, I didn't read it last time, I'm going to read it this time. Verse 19, he said, for as by one man's disobedience, talking about the first Adam, many were made sinners. So the obedience of one, the last Adam, shall many be made righteous. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Now mark this down in your Bible. Highlight it in your Bible app. These are two different Greek words. The first two abound and abounded. Look. Moreover, the law entered that offense, that sin might abound. But where sin abounded, notice this. Now look at the last part of the verse. Grace did much more abound. This Greek word here means to superabound. Yes, I was in sin. I was controlled by sin, and it looked like I had no hope. I had no way out. But God gave me His grace, which looked at my sin and laughed. God's grace said, I can break that yoke off your life. I can destroy that out of your life if you'll just simply receive my unmerited favor. The devil gave his best shot. He brought think about it. Every sin I have ever committed, every sin that I would ever commit, you can add them all together and they will not touch God's grace. His grace is super abounding. So if God's grace will save me in a superabounding way, God's grace will teach me how to live moment by moment by moment. And that's what Paul's trying to get into our hearts. So hold that in your mind. Let's go back and look what he said. 1 Timothy 1:14, he said, in this grace, this super abounding grace, in this grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So tonight, you and I need to be in the place where we stop agreeing with the devil. And how many times have you heard somebody say, if I just had enough faith? When you got born again, you were dealt the measure of faith. But then the fruit of the Spirit is faith. You and I, we've got to use what we've got. What we've got, every time we use it, it grows. And so Paul's saying, I've got this grace of God that is exceedingly abundant. And it is in what? It's in faith. So you, in other words, everything that you're struggling with or everything that you're looking at, you say, God, I know you've got grace that brings faith out of my life in this situation. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith comes from the word of God. Faith is of the word of God. So give me the word to speak. Amen. He said, faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. So I'm in Christ, you're in Christ, because we're born again. So we've got this faith that is the key to bringing God's will to the earth. But we've got this love, the love that covers a multitude of sins, the love that never fails. We've got it in abundance in our life. It's there. So I've got to learn how to live by that word that brings faith, that is of faith, that, and I've got to learn how to walk in that love, because the Bible says in Galatians 5:6 that faith, it works by love. So, see, when we tie these two things together, you and I know how to operate because we're not operating in and of ourselves. We're operating in of the grace of God, which is greater and greater and greater. See, I just thought I understood grace when I got saved. That was amazing, and thank God for it. That was wonderful. But the grace that I'm learning day by day is, to me, more special than that, because I know I'm going to heaven, and I'm thankful for that. But God's called me. He's called you to be in this world. And we've got to have grace to be in this world, because we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We're to be a light of this world. And so to be able to do that, I've got to learn, you've got to learn how to operate in the grace of God. Amen? Can we take this to a side journey just for a second? Hold your place right there. And go with me to Matthew chapter 6. Don and I were fixing to leave, and this verse come to my heart. I couldn't figure out how in the world. I didn't think it had anything to do with tonight. But now I see exactly how it ties together. Look at Matthew 6:31. This is where Jesus is talking about living everyday life. And he's talking about how, you know, when you seek God and his kingdom, his righteousness, that God will meet all of your needs. He'll take care of you. But you and I, if we're not careful, we put handcuffs on God and we keep him from taking care of us. Now, here's how we do it. Look at verse 31, Matthew 6 and 31. Jesus said, therefore, take no thought saying. Therefore, take no thought saying. See, it's one thing to have, this word thought means to be anxious. It means to have care. It means to have something that is separating you from God's promise, God's provision, which is Jesus, trying to separate you from God's grace, teaching you how to live. And Jesus said, you and I got to be so cautious. Don't let something separate us. And then when that separation is trying to take place in your life, don't come in agreement with it by saying. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles, the unbelievers, those who do not have a covenant with God, seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Paul, that's what he learned. He learned how to not to depend upon himself and how to depend upon his religion. Come on, think about what Paul had to give up. I mean, he had influence. He had prestige. I mean, when everywhere he walked, being a member of the Sanhedrin and the way he dressed and the clout and all of that thing, he gathered and garnered attention. And he had to learn how to give all of that up and to let the focal point be him and the Lord. Amen? He had to learn how to seek the kingdom of God. He had to learn how to not take thought for anything but what God would have in his life. And so that's what you and I are having to do. We're learning how not to talk about the problem, talk about the situation, because if we're not careful, and I hope I get to preach on this soon, we build up strongholds in our life by keep taking thought and saying what's anxious in our life, what's confusing in our life. We build up the problem and we don't talk about the solution, which is the Savior, Jesus. Amen? It's okay to find something. Everybody needs somebody to talk to, but we need to talk about Jesus more than we talk about the problem. Amen? All right. Go back to 1 Timothy 1. And look what he said. He said in verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. He said, of whom I am chief, I'm the foremost. But I want you to think about that. Jesus wants to save sinners. Now, You got born again. I got born again because God wanted you to be in a relationship with Him. Amen? And He wanted you to be saved. Now, this Greek word is sozo, and it means not just your spirit saved, but He wants to save you. He wants to preserve you. He wants to, the word goes all the way back for you to be whole, spirit, soul, and body. That's God's desire. But the only way that can happen is we've got to be in that place, in that position where we're letting that grace teach us how to live. You're going to have problems in this world. You're going to meet the devil. You're going to meet the devil's helpers. You're going to go through trials and temptations and all of these things that will test you and try to wear you out and all of these things. But you and I have got to come back and we've got to say, no, wait a minute. I'm going to hold on to this grace. I'm going to let God completely save me, spirit, soul, and body. I know He wants me to, I'm going to be a spirit being in a glorified body. I'm going to live with Him forever, but I need to be saved, spirit, soul, and body here, right now, to be able to do what God's called me to do and to be successful in that. I can't imagine where his faith was stretched over and over and over. Can you imagine? I mean, they stoned him to death, but he knew he was going to Rome. They put him in a shipwreck and all of these beatings with rods and all of these things he went through, but he knew what God called him to do and where he was going. You and I, we've got to learn how to let Jesus save every situation and don't give up. Sometimes I feel like that reed that's trying to blow in the wind. You know, that's what James talked about. He said, you can't be wavering in the wind. You've got to learn how to be strong. James said, ask for wisdom, right? James 1:5, God gives it to you and I liberally to be able to understand what's going on. And if we'll ask him in faith, he said he would give us the wisdom to understand what's happening. That's what Paul did. He learned how to walk in those things. And he realized that everything he was going through was ultimately going to get somebody born again. Can you imagine his mindset? I mean, they couldn't even keep a Roman guard that was shackled to him. They had to change him out continually because Paul would just get him born again. He'd get him saved. Is that available for us? Yes. Yes, we can get people born again. See, the devil's convinced us. He's convinced the church. Well, nobody wants to get saved. Yes, they do. They just don't know how. They're trying to save themselves through all the things that this world has to offer. They don't realize that there's only one Savior and He doesn't come in the way and the form and the shape and the means that they're looking at. And we've got to point them to the right direction. Amen. But you're called to do that. And so by God's grace, that grace that's greater, you and I are going to learn how to live. And that lifestyle is going to be so prominent, it's going to pull people out, just like those who got around Paul. When they got around Paul, you know, Brother Corey talked about him and in Acts 16 being in prison, him and Silas. Come on, that changed the whole prison. They're in stocks, beaten and bleeding in the inner prison. Can you imagine? They're laying on the ground, stretched out, hands and feet, and their bodies pulled tight. And every place they took those stripes, you know, you get a little cut. Think about this. And they're pulled tight, and blood and sweat and the smell, the stench that was in there. And they're able to praise God. That's grace. That's grace. That's learning how to live. Amen. And God wants that for us. I want to learn how to live in a place where I expect it. But God used him then that when God shook the prison cells open, not one prisoner left. They had more freedom in there with Paul than they would have outside those doors. Is that not amazing? They had never experienced the freedom that Paul and Silas brought to them. You're free by the Son. Come on, you're free. You can bring everywhere you go, you can bring freedom to people. You can give them hope. You can give them confidence because you're living by this same grace. Why do you think people call you? Why do you think they come around you? Because that's in you, and they want that. They may not understand it. They may not specifically call on that, but they want to be around that Holy Spirit lifting up Jesus in you. Amen? So just learn how to embrace it. Learn how to, as you grab a hold of it, then you can give it away. Amen? Now notice what he said. He said in verse 16, How be it, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should be hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So Paul said everything that the Holy Ghost gave him to write, his life was a pattern. In other words, a pattern means that you and I, we can take this word and we can lay it on top of us, and we can live according to what this word says. It's your pattern for life. If Paul succeeded through Jesus, you can succeed through Jesus. And so we've got to be in that place, in that position where we don't take thought saying, but we speak by the Holy Spirit and say, no, Jesus is going to save this situation. The grace of God is going to change the situation. The grace of God is going to bring the provision, the promise, the power from heaven in this situation. It's not going to stay the same. Amen. And so we start living in that place of hope, in that place of expectancy, and it changes everything. Verse 17, he said, now, right now, unto the King eternal, talking about Jesus, immortal, yes, invisible, yes, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And he says, amen. And that's the way that you and I need to live. We need to be in that place where we know who we're serving. We know where he's at. And we're in the place where we recognize and realize because of God's grace, I can bring Jesus glory. Remember, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but now you're not a sinner. Don't let the devil tell you you're a sinner. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, if you're saved, you're no longer a sinner. You have become a saint. You've been sanctified. Amen. You don't identify. You don't put that label on you. You identify as a saved son or daughter of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so you start walking in that reality and you start realizing I'm bringing a revelation of Jesus that nobody else can see. Everyone, that's why God needs you. The many-membered body brings the whole picture of Jesus. Isn't that exciting tonight? And so when we work together, when we operate in this truth, in this reality, it changes people's lives. It gives them a hope, a confidence for something better. And that's what you and I are wanting, right? Okay, go with me to John chapter 15, and I will try to work through this. I want you to take this and put it in your heart. Jesus said in verse number 1, John 15, 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. So you need to, I know you know this, but mark it down in case so you won't forget in your Bible app or in your Bible. If Jesus said, I'm the true vine, that means there's a. So we got to be careful. The devil is an imitator. He's the imposter, and he wants to get you and I to settle for something else. But Jesus said, I'm the true vine and my Father is the husband. In other words, if God is not working in your life through Jesus, then you need to step back and say, wait a minute, something's not right here. I don't care if it feels a certain way or it looks a certain way. If God's not involved in it through Jesus, then we need to turn because we've got off track somewhere. Amen. That's how different religions, how different denominations, how they get out of tune and out of power of the Spirit of God. Verse 2, he said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, he cleanseth it, he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So what we do is we say, Lord, by your grace, show me these dead branches in my life. I want to be pruned. I want to be pruned by the word. I want you to show me everything that's dead, that's unproductive in my life, and I'm going to live by the grace of God. See what Paul done? Paul got rid of religion. He got rid of what man thought about him. He got rid of walking as a Pharisee. He said, everything that I had, I now count it as dung. It means nothing to me that I may gain Christ Jesus. That's what you and I, we've got to be in that place where we say, listen, devil, you're not going to trip me up on this anymore. It's not about this, this, and this. It's about him. This, this, and this brings a little bit of happiness, as Brother Corey was talking about, but Jesus brings joy. Joy that can't be touched. Amen? Verse 3, he said, right now, Now ye are clean, you're pruned, you're purged through the word which I have spoken unto you. So, in other words, when you got born again, when I got born again, that pruning took place, and the old man, you saw it for what it was, and then all of a sudden you take the word at what it says, and you put off the old man and put on the new man. You start walking in the spirit rather than in the flesh. And as you're in that place, all of a sudden, this pruning process just keeps happening in your life. And with every step in your life, there's something else dead comes out of your life. And when something dead comes out of your life, you become more alive. More alive. More alive. I want joy, don't you? This joy that Jesus is talking about. Well, the way to have his joy is we get these little thieves of joy and these little false manifestos of joy. We get them revealed. And if they're revealed by the Spirit, then they can be cast out of our life. Amen. Now, notice what he said. He said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth a little fruit. For without me you can do nothing. You can bear much fruit. See, the devil wants us to just settle for just a little bit. No, you're in the vine. The branch, all the branch has to do is take what the vine supplies and produce what it gives it. Jesus has given himself for you. He said, I give myself a ransom for you. So the Son of God gave himself for you and I that we might have all that we need to produce this fruit. And it's learning how to live by God's grace. One moment, one step at a time, one heartbeat. Now notice what happens. He said, if I'm the vine and you're the branches, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now let's flip that to the positive. If without Jesus you and I can do nothing, what can we do with him? That's what Paul said, right? Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who... That strength is what? It's the grace. The grace. You and I were learning how to live by grace. And so we have an expectancy. The reason why the church hasn't succeeded in the past in the way that God wanted us to is because we let the devil take away our vision. Where there's no vision, the people... So we've got to have a vision. The vision is God is wanting to save people and people are wanting to be saved. But the only way they can be saved is if you and I take this grace to them, if we reveal it to them. So what we've got to do, we've got to get all of these little and, if, or, buts out of the way. It's not about what I want or what I think. It's about what Jesus is wanting to do. Amen. And what he's wanting to do is to use you mightily. And to be able to do that, we've got to say, Lord, I'm willing. And then when you say you're willing, then all of a sudden, things that he has promised that would happen in your life, they'll start happening. Amen. See, we need to take Jesus at his word. And we need to look that if you're a child of God, then you're a child of God. Now, I know that this aggravates, but I've got the Spirit of God brought it up in my heart. I'm going to read it to you. Go with me to Matthew chapter 10. This is Jesus giving his commission. Jesus changed his mind about the Great Commission? He hadn't changed his mind at all, has he? That's why he went to the cross. But look at Matthew chapter 10, and starting in verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth. Now, these 12, yes, are the original apostles, and there'll never be any more apostles like them. They are the foundational apostles. And we're going to see those foundations in that holy city, amen, that New Jerusalem. But you and I, we know Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that God, he gives apostles after the fact to work and to operate in that area. So what does an apostle do? An apostle starts a church. What did we come here and do? We started a church. Okay, so that means that you qualify for what we're talking about. Now, notice what happens. Then the 12 sent forth and commanded them, saying, this is what Jesus said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, because this is before the cross. Today, that's where you and I are going. And to any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, notice what happens. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, say that Jesus is right near. How is Jesus right near? Because he's in you. That's why people are drawn to you. Because when they get around you, they feel heaven because Jesus is heaven. Anywhere Jesus is, come on, it is the pleasure and the promise and the hope of the eternity. Now look what he says. Verse number 8. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Learning how to live by grace. Oh, brother, I'll pray for you. Did he say pray for him? He said heal the sick. He said, these signs, Mark chapter 16, he said, these five signs shall follow you. You shall lay hands on the sick and they... Is it true or not? So why are we asking God to do something that he told us to do? We've got to learn how to live by grace. We're not being very productive because we're not doing it fully the way God would have us to do it. You realize that we pray for people to be healed, and there's about 10%. If we're lucky, about 10% of the people that you pray for get healed. Jesus didn't have that situation. What did it say? And the multitudes came to Jesus, and he healed them. He spoke to the situation. Take no thought saying negatively, but take thought saying what Jesus says. Okay, I won't bury myself anymore. Let's go back and let's close with this thought. Galatians, in the book of Galatians, I want you to see something what Paul said. Let's read, start in chapter 2, and then I'm going to close in chapter 6. Just a couple verses, and I'll let you go. Galatians chapter 2, you know these verses very well. Look at verses 20 and 21. We're talking about learning how to live by the grace of God. He said, Paul, the Apostle Paul said, by the unction of the Spirit of God, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now notice this. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So remember, we talked about that exceeding abundant faith and love. There in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And Paul said, I'm learning how to live by the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God. Oh, if I just had enough faith. No. I'm not included in this. Paul said, I'm not putting the pressure on myself. I'm putting the demand on Jesus who saved me. What if I do this and nothing happens? What if you do what God said and everything happens? Now, come on, read it. Paul said, "The Christ lives in me." Do you believe that tonight?
Yeah.
I believe that, don't you? I feel him. Nobody can make me believe anything else. Nobody can make you believe anything else. Christ, he's alive in us. And so Paul says, now, the life which I now live in the flesh. Come on, we're in the flesh. Paint yourself. You're in the flesh, but you're not what? Come on. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Take your faith out of it. If you put your faith in it, if I put my faith in it, we'll never do what God told us to do. Because the devil's always going to say, well, you don't know enough word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You don't even know the word on this part. I don't, but he does. He said he would send another comforter, one just like himself, who would lead me and guide me into all truth. Amen. Verse 21. Here's what we've got to do tonight to make sure that we learn how to live by grace. He said, Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. This word frustrate, it means to neutralize. You mean we can make the grace of God ineffective? I can for my own life. So I've got to step back and I've got to ask the Lord by the power of the Spirit, show me, Lord, any area that I'm not taking advantage of your grace, any area I'm not living by that grace. See, the devil loves to get into my mind. And he loves to start bringing up all of these things that makes me anxious. And he knows how to push certain buttons where then all of a sudden I'll start talking about those things and those strongholds start coming up and Jesus is right there, but I can't see them for what he's showing me, what I'm saying. And before long, I get stone after stone, brick after brick, rock after rock, whatever you want to say, and it gets getting higher and higher. Well, Jesus ain't changed, but what I'm saying is changing my ability to see Jesus provide. So Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Christ has died for nothing. So I know my righteousness, my right standing with God the Father is because of the sacrificial atonement, the blood of Jesus. And so if I was saved by that same grace, then I'm going to be able to live by that same grace. And that's what Paul said. He said he learned how to live. Can you imagine that Paul, he could have, he told him, he said, listen, for me to die is gain. For me. He said, but it's more expedient for you that I stay here. In other words, he wanted to be with Jesus. Jesus wanted him to be with him unless he wanted to do something else and finish the work. But he said, no, I'm going to finish my work. And that's what he did. He said, I have fulfilled my course. You know, when it come time, and he said, it's my season to go home. And he went home. The devil didn't kill him. He went home according to the plan and the glory of God. That's the way you and I are going home. Amen? So one last verse. Turn over to chapter 6. And this is what you and I are going to do. And this is going to make sure. Well, let's read two verses. He said in verse 14, Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory. I'm not going to have a boast in anything, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But my glory now is in God and of God and by God and for God. But God forbid that I should glory, save or except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Paul says everything I do is going to be about bringing glory to that cross. Paul said, I die daily that I may bring glory to that cross. He said, I'm going to learn how to die in the flesh where I can live by the grace of God and be empowered by the Spirit. That's available to you and I. God ain't changed. This word is here, but I've got to have the word to be able to do it. You've got to have the word to be able to do it. Now, look what he said. Verse 15, this is how you and I do it tonight, and there's no pressure on us whatsoever. For in Christ Jesus, how many is in Jesus? For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, it's not about the law, it's not about what you and I do on the outside, availeth anything, or uncircumcision, but a new creature. When you believe in the heart and confess with the mouth, you become a new creature. You become born again, born from above. Amen. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, behold, old things are what? And all things are made. because you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so Paul said, hey, I'm going to learn how to glory in that cross. I'm going to learn how to live. The cross is what brought you grace. The cross is what brought me grace. So Paul said, I'm learning how to glory in that grace of God, and I'm going to shine that glory, and I'm going to be able to see people saved, delivered, healed, and all the things of God that He has for them. Amen? Jesus is not coming back for a church that can't operate in His Word. So the devil's a liar. You and I can operate in the Word of God. Jesus is coming back for a church that is going to be, He said that we would be in the field about the Father's business. And the field is the world. Matthew chapter 13 tells us that. And so you and I are going to be in the world, but we're not of the world. And we're going to be doing the grace of God. We're going to be living the grace of God. And we're going to be seeing people saved. Don't let people tell you that everybody's going to hell. Yes, sadly, there's going to be a lot of people who make bad choices, but you and I are going to be used by God as whoever will hear this message. They're going to come out. Amen? But expect it, believe it. I don't believe Jesus went to bed at night thinking about how many was going to die without Him. I think He went to bed at night thinking about what God was going to do through Him the next day to keep them from dying without this grace, don't you? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for Your grace, Your mercy. I thank You for this wonderful group of people. Father, right now, anything that would be twisted by the enemy, anything that would be misunderstood by the flesh, I just bind that outside voice that would try to do that. And I ask that You just help each one of us hear the love in Your Word and the power in Your Word, the truth in Your Word that makes us free. Let this group of people know how much You are dependent upon them, because You are a husbandman, James 5:7, that is waiting patiently for that harvest. And You have entrusted, You have empowered us, just like You did the Apostle Paul, to reach this very harvest with Your grace. Lord, tonight show us any areas that we might be frustrating, neutralizing Your grace, and let us come face to face with the truth, and let us look boldly and be changed from glory to glory and receive and accept that truth. Oh, we ask You in Jesus' name. Would you come tonight and say, Lord, here I am. I want to look into that glory. I want to, because whatever I look at, that's what I'm going to carry. Whatever I look at is what I'm going to carry. So I want to look at the glory of God, and I want to carry that glory, and I want to carry hope. I want to carry this salvation message. I want to live in the place and the productivity and the promise and the power of grace. Would you come and just say, Lord, here I am. Let this fresh anointing come on my life and embolden me to do that. Would you do that tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, greater things, things that you and I have never even understood. The Bible says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard what the Lord has in store for us. But by His Spirit, He reveals those things to us. And then He closes out that second chapter of 1 Corinthians, and He says, but we have the mind of Christ. See, by the Spirit, you can have the mind of Christ to know what He wants you to do in the timely fashion that He wants you to do it. It's there for us. But chapter 3 says that we've got to grow up. We can't be babes in Christ and do what God called us to do. But that's what He's doing to us. He's rearing us up in Jesus' name.